And somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. Always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. High. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
And welcome. Welcome to On the Real Side. I'm Emmett Abatidoh. Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. said, if you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, everything you understand will only confuse you. My mission in life is to teach my brothers and sisters how to heal from the consequences of being enslaved. And I'm a river that nurtures both banks. On the Real Side is dedicated to replacing white supremacy, racism, white domination, white subjugation, white supremacy, with a universal system of justice. Justice is better than white supremacy. For a comment or a question, email Doe, D-O-E, at onthereelside.com or at emmetabatidoe at gmail.com. And that ain't right. No black men working. And what's happening across the country with the condition and the deteriorating status and tenuous expectation of survival of black males. And nobody seems to notice. And our leadership is so busy counting money in the counting house, all of 30 pieces of silver, the plight of black men goes unnoticed and unaddressed. And that ain't right. I introduced an answer. Not the answer, but an answer. Not being a leader, not being someone that purports to speak for God or even speak to God. I authored in 1993 the Community Economic Development Plan. Because my philosophy is that if you're smart enough to know what the problems are, and we have people that are always talking about the problems, but very seldom do people introduce simultaneously a solution or evolve a solution after they have identified the problem. So I believe in practicing what I preach. And I wrote the Community Economic Development Plan of 1993 that you can find at ontherealside.com. And you can also find it at the edcuinc.com. The Community Economic Development Plan is a workable model for masses of people. But there seems to be a lack, not seems, there is a lack of a willingness to move out of the way of this freight train. We have been conditioned, and we'll talk about that in depth a little bit, not to do what is obvious in our own self-interest individually and certainly collectively. And that ain't right. I have observed and shared with this audience the fact that the very lauded medical profession is in a shambles. And that we have the most expensive medical system in the world. And we have in and among the so-called industrialized nations, the lowest quality of life in terms of health, while we're spending the most money, we enjoy the least benefit. And 99% of the monies that go into the medical establishment is taxpayer money. It's money that comes from the public coffers. And the research, et cetera, is funded and undergirded by public monies. And the public receives so little benefit. And I'll update you guys. We were honored to have Dr. Poindexter, dentist, surgeon extraordinaire. And we began a conversation around fluorides. And we will have Dr. Poindexter back on the air to continue his sharing of his wisdom and knowledge to help you better understand what to do with dental, what to do with your dental coverage if you are lucky enough to have dental coverage. And we're going to revisit the subject of fluoridation. And you have something to look forward to, because I think Dr. Poindexter has a radio journalist streak inside of him that's coming out. And I personally look forward to having him on the program again very soon. Back to the contradiction of our medical establishment, in that should you have a trauma, as I have stated over and over again, should you have an injury, should you have a medical emergency, this is perhaps the best place in the world to have it. Okay? Now, why it's so, I don't know. But it might have something to do with they put a system in place that will serve the elite. And by accident or just as spillover, poor folk benefit. But it's really put in place to keep the elite alive and well. I had a family experience a few days ago where one of my favorite brother-in-laws was life-flighted from a rural community to Houston, Herman Memorial, to be specific, because he had a tumor on his brain. And I am happy to report that in less than 30 hours, from when he was life-flighted, he underwent the surgical removal of the tumor, which was about the size of the palm of a man's hand, and is returning home with his loved ones and all the people that are sending loving, positive energy he's home talking. I mean, talking and walking and expressing enlightenment and a commitment to life that only visiting the doorsteps of disaster can oftentimes give us. And he is so blessed to have a wife that adores him and a family that thinks he's the bomb. He's the bomb. And in this situation, the medical profession worked as it is designed to work. And I wanted to share this as an example, a personal experience, an example of benefiting from the medical profession to save a life very much worth saving and to restore my brother-in-law back to his loving community and family. Now, that hasn't changed my mind at all about the medical establishment as an industry and as a business. But it simply reinforced the fact that, again, this place is the best place to have an emergency. Today, on the real side, we want to continue the conversation of understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. And for those who are new to On the Real Side or new to the conversation, allow me to put this in context. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. So first, the meaning of PMIA, which is an acronym for the people made in America, the direct descendants of those captured and enslaved prisoners of wars. They arrogantly labeled slaves. We were never slaves. We were enslaved. And having our lands, having our culture, having our families, having our gods, having our foods, having everything taken from us. And what was replaced was not designed or intended to be for our welfare and benefit. Yes, the people made in America are in need of healing. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. What do I mean by survivor? I mean that there is a unconscious sense of guilt, an unconscious sense of amazement that we were not lynched, that we were not placed into circumstances, into harm's way that reduced our life expectancy. As we have watched so many black males tortured, imprisoned, murdered, there's a sense, unconsciousness about it of, oh, I'm still here. I survived. I'm surviving this. And I maintain that the police shootings are government-inspired, sponsored, and protected acts of terrorism against a targeted population that has always been the target of terrorism. And that they maintained an economic system of subjugation and exploitation that was rooted and anchored in terror. And they got the nerve to talk about terrorism. They got the nerve to talk about somebody that doesn't have aircraft carriers, doesn't have missiles, doesn't have B-52 bombers, does not have cruise missiles. And they send against their enemies the only thing that they have, which is their bodies. And we are brainwashed into thinking of them as terrorists. When a cruise missile, a smart bomb, is dropped like confetti on innocent people, and whole societies are disrupted and sent into chaos because of our humanitarian intervention, which brings us to the focus of today: conversation on understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. And a syndrome is a disease. A syndrome is something that is patterned and consistent, that's associated and connected with something not good. And one of the primary wounds, one of the primary deficits that enslavement has resulted to this day is affected judgment and response. Effective judgment and response, I maintain, has been severely distorted and deformed as a consequence of our enslavement and white supremacy, white domination, white subjugation as being the ocean that we swim in. We swim and we try our best to be normal in a totally abnormal environment, an unnatural environment. an environment calculated, maintained, and reinforced to destroy us individually and collectively as families and as a community and as a people. Understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome. Last week we talked about the process, the beginning to walk the road of recovery starts with being able to admit, being able to acknowledge, yes, I got a problem. And that is the beginning of our capacity as human beings to come up with solutions. I'm going to share something that might at first blush seem unconnected, but I hope at the end of the day, you'll appreciate the connection between our struggle and the life and victory of the physicist, Dr. Stephen Hawking. Today, on The Real Side.
The big new idea is that the universe has no boundaries at all. No boundaries, no beginning.
And no God. Oh, I see. I thought that you'd prove the universe had a beginning and thus a need for a creator. My mistake.
Stephen is looking for a single theory that explains all the forces in the universe. Therefore, God must die.
Why must God die? I don't see.
The two great pillars of physics are quantum theory, the laws that govern the very small particles, electrons, and so on, and general relativity.
Yes, Einstein.
Einstein's theory, the laws that govern the very large planets and such. But quantum and relativity...
Don't tell me. They're different.
They don't remotely play by the same rules. If the world were all potatoes, then easy. You could trace a precise beginning, as Stephen once did. A moment of creation. Hallelujah. God lives. If you incorporate peas into the menu, well, then it all goes a little... Yes, haywire. Just all becomes a godless mess.
Oh dear.
Einstein hated peas. Quantum theory, he said, God doesn't play dice with the universe.
He not only plays dice, but he throws them where they can't find them.
God is back on the endangered species list.
Well, I expect
he'll
cope.
Physics is back in business.
Yes. Physics is back in business.
Einstein hated peas. And yet there's not a schoolboy or schoolgirl, perhaps anywhere on the planet, that have been exposed to education that has not been brainwashed with the genius of Einstein. But Einstein, I submit, is a beneficiary of an extraordinary propaganda machine. And I just want to help you appreciate, in contrast, Stephen Hawking has Lou Gehrig's disease. And for many of you, his name is not very familiar. But there's a movie that was made in 2014 that I just recently saw. My grandson was aware of this movie and this story, and I wasn't until a few weeks ago. And the reality is that Stephen Hawking, although paralyzed and without a voice, who was told that he had 2 years to live, is now 74 years old. A man who could not move his body fathered 3 children. A man who lost his voice has written bestsellers that offers an understanding of the universe in terms that the average person can appreciate and understand. This man is the real genius of our time. And they talk about preserving Einstein's brain. Stephen Hawking used his brain to defy every law in medicine there was. And in a body as frail as tissue paper, he has impacted the thinking of the world. But Einstein has the publicity machinery to keep him in the public mind as being the genius. And I love the line, Einstein hated peas. Which brings into question what is generally understood to be the bomb, the M equals whatever square. The theory of relativity, which doesn't hold water when the peas are introduced to the equation. Now, what does this have to do with understanding and healing PMIA survivor syndrome? Everything. Because the deficit of survivor syndrome is a deficiency in distinguishing fantasy from reality. What is and is not real is the consequence of our enslavement and the deluge of scientifically designed and institutionally reinforced systems and principles and laws to keep us stuck, to keep us fantasizing, to keep us not being able to distinguish between what is and is not. And yes, God deserves to be on the endangered species list. And as I observe this playing and acting itself out, walking through the hospital critical care unit, I could sense the suffering and anguish. Of loved ones who were not prepared to say goodbye. And yet, in our community, if a loved one survives, we say, praise God, and give all credit and all everything, all to God. The surgeon may get mentioned. The patient itself may get to be acknowledged, but nope. The credit for your loved one's recovery is given generously and effusively to the big G. The amazing thing is that if your loved one doesn't make it, the big G gets a pass. And then we go into it was God's will. Then we go into we do not understand that God has a plan, and that in this plan that God has, and you got to say God a certain way, that we don't know why our loved one God chose to bring home. We don't know. We cannot understand the mind of God. So whether or not you win or you lose, God gets a pass. The God that we were given, the God the slave master gave us, the God that told us as we were indoctrinated into their religion to love your enemies, to pray for those that despitefully use you, etc., etc., etc. Very, very convenient for a bastard to have their victims be conditioned to accept brutal treatment and to forgive without ever being asked for forgiveness. And I maintain, folks, that this and other examples of not being able to distinguish fantasy from reality. What is and is not real must be healed. Must be healed. We must evolve the capacity to understand the meaning of the word enemy and to bring to life, to bring to our reality appropriate understandings and responses. We cannot heal. We cannot recover. Relying on the tools that were given to us through surrogates, through house niggers, through Reverend Chickenbone, through our educators, through our so-called wise people, through our so-called leaders, through et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Through organizations that were created by Jews for Jews to manipulate and control us, like the NAACP, for example, the Urban League, and all the rest of them that are funded, created, funded by an enemy to deceive, to mislead, and to reinforce the madness which they created, and that we mistakenly think is normal. Understanding and healing, PMIA survivor syndrome. We have a choice to see that our surviving should be given more meaning, more importance than to be able to indulge our fantasies and our ignorance and our appetites. Many people suffered. Billions and billions of dreams were lost. Millions of lives were taken so that we might have an opportunity. It wasn't deliberate. It was never intended for us to survive at all. Our being here, as Dr. King said, it's a miracle that the Negro has survived. And you can hear the entire talk that I was privileged to be in the room and to hear the words from his mouth in 1968. I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't have been there, because I didn't like the man. I thought he was a punk, but he wasn't. He was a man. And when he began to understand how he had been tricked, when he began to understand how we as a people have been tricked and deceived, they had no further use for him. But his words remain. And for those who have an ear, let them hear. The entire talk can be heard on YouTube. Dr. King and I on the real side. Dr. King and I on the real side. And PMIA, the movie, on the real side, on YouTube, will help you begin the journey of understanding and being able to distinguish between fantasy and reality. And God's not going to get you. If you start thinking and allow your understanding to evolve, it's not revolution we should be committed to bring about, but evolution, to evolve. Revolution takes you right back to where you've already been. It may take 75 years, may take 7,500 years, but revolution takes you back to where you left. And that's why we're taught about revolution. And that's why we're encouraged to think revolution, because they know that it takes you nowhere. It's evolution that will take us to where we must go individually, because everything starts with one. Everything starts with a decision that each of us must make. To choose the blue pill or the red pill. And the blue pill allows you to continue in La La Land, with all the nonsense your enemies have provided for you. The drugs, the alcohol, the entertainment, our values, they all must be held suspect. And you can't begin the journey to health and wholeness if you allow yourself to engage in activities that are designed to inhibit your ability to think and to perform. And the availability of drugs and alcohol and entertainment and music and what we call humor are all there for one reason and one reason only: to keep us stuck. And in the process, make those who control the product richer. Now, if you're not sure of the truth that I speak. Please consider for a moment looking at the result of alcohol use and those who you love who were into that activity when they were young. Look at them now and understand that they were brought to that place of infirmity. They were brought to that place of illness. They were brought to that place of disease and sickness by being deceived in engaging in activity that resulted in that, that was geared for that, designed for that. Because when you get 50 and 60 and 70, you're supposed to be able to offer wisdom and leadership and judgment, because all the bullshit, you done survived. You know the game. And you can share your wisdom and your understanding and your leadership with young people. Those that are smart enough to understand that there ain't no such thing as old school and new school. That's bullshit. There's only school. There's only school. And we need wisdom and age and judgment and experience teaching us. Not some kid with a PhD who hasn't even reached 30 years. What the hell can someone 30 years old tell you? They just got here. We need to understand the game, folks. And if they're promoting it, if they're endorsing it, if they're extolling it, if they're facilitating it, if they're doing any of that, you should know it is not in your interest. It is not for you to become all that you can be, to become all that our people need you to be. And hopefully, all that you want to be.
How does one begin to tell of the end when somewhere in the middle, truth lies belly up in the gutter, dingy and still, stained with poverty, the type no detergent can get out of nowhere? She said water ran up the street, asked if I had ever seen something you normally only hear about, and now her house is home to nothing and no one except the memories she remembers as she stands atop broken bunk beds and shards the only picture she ever had of her mother and father together. She remembers happy here. Before the rain came, before the flood of filth filled their eyes, circus-like, she said, they think we are fools when really they are the clowns. Step right up, hurry, hurry, for little or nothing you can see the best of the worst. First come, first served, this is destruction at its finest. Death has never looked so sweet, and if you give them a treat, I guarantee they'll smile wide. Just hold on tight and watch your purse. We couldn't get rid of all the poor folks. I know, we'll get over this hump. You'll see New Orleans will be a great theme park, even better than Vegas, and certainly Disney. No worries, there's a bunch of developers to assist me. Meanwhile, privatization is taking over public housing, mixed income facility, kick them out by the thousands. Every place we've torn down can look like River Gardens. Wouldn't you prefer that over the old St. Thomas? We want to see our homes rebuilt. Be still. Be patient. It takes time to build these neighborhood associations. Excuse me. Healthy, vibrant, sustainable communities. But really, Mr. Developer, what does that mean? It sounds like gentrification shrouded in a pretty language with good intentions. Many say the road to hell is paved with the same. I wonder, what kind of forklift is required to raise our souls from this muck and mire? Or what kind of fire must burn to purge our hearts of the heaviness that comes with holding a hope so heavy it hurts?
Four on the Real Side, November the 3rd, 2016. I'm Emmett Abatido.
And somewhere we must come to see that we must rise up and stand on our own two feet and say to our white brothers that we are determined to be men. This is what the movement is saying. We are somebody. We are determined to gain our freedom. And we are going to start with ourselves by freeing our own psyche, our own souls. This is where we've got to start first. For you see, in the final analysis, if we are going to be truly free, nobody else can do that for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do that for us. No Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do that for us. If we are going to be truly free, we must reach down into the inner depths of our being and sign with the pen and ink of assertive manhood our own Emancipation Proclamation. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Tennysonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry